Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This is Matt Spiegel, and I can't wait to bring you Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. It's a job so special that even Joe Buck told us he will probably go back to it.
I'm 53, basically 54. I think it's too early to say nevers at this point in my life. I think at some point I'll get the itch again.
Incredible guests sharing great stories from your favorite teams coming this year. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
Welcome back, Silver and Black. Today, the home stretch here on this edition of our Odyssey original podcast, where we talk nothing but Las Vegas Raiders football. My co-host is my friend Mo Moten. He is the national NFL writer for Bleacher Report, also the Raiders columnist up on sportsnot.com. Make sure you read all his stuff. Not only that, but share it with everyone you know. And let them know what a gifted writer he is. You can follow him on Twitter at M-O-E-M-O-T-O-N. He's also single, ladies. So, So be ready for that. We'll get into that this summer. We're gonna get some fun with getting Mo out there and getting his sushi date and all that kind of stuff. If you listen to the show, you know what that means.
I think there are some people out there who will be highly upset that you put that out there, Scott.
By the way,
some women out there.
Oh, and you can follow me on Twitter too, LV Gully. You could also check out some of the work I do on the Raiders on sportsnot.com as well, as in addition to the show. Mo, I have to say this too. I don't know if you've noticed over the last 2 weeks, last month. And it's interesting because usually, like when I talk to the network, our guys at Odyssey, because we continue to be third overall in the podcast standings for NFL teams behind the Eagles and the Cowboys podcast. Both teams still alive in the playoffs, by the way. They're always like, it's unbelievable. You guys are keeping these numbers up when the Raiders didn't win this year. And I said, well, that's because you don't know Raider Nation. You don't know how hardcore they are. Even when they're miserable, they want to talk Raiders. And so it makes sense to us because we know you guys. Go ahead.
Quick shout out to the people, because we get emails all the time, people who say, you know, I listen to you guys while I'm on my elite work shift.
Yeah.
Our guy Rock Raider 585, when he's doing his thing, he's like, you guys get me through the workday. So
yeah,
we appreciate all of that because you're keeping our numbers high. And as Scott said, whether the Raiders are 17 or going to be 17-0 or 0-17, you're interested in hearing about your Raiders, and we appreciate that.
Absolutely. Never stop talking about the Raiders. That's why I love the fan base. But I was going to get – so we've grown a lot more even in the last month, which is – you know, I was always concerned, okay, get towards the end of the season, people start to lose interest, but not in Raider Nation. It's actually increased. So we're getting a lot of new listeners. Those new listeners are finding us on social media. And I've seen, like – I'm not going to exaggerate and say it was 10. It was more maybe like 3 or 4. But I've seen a bunch of them say, hey – because we've been putting more video up in social media too, right? On TikTok and Instagram and Twitter. And a lot of people say, Mo, I'm surprised. It's the first time I heard your voice. I'm surprised by your voice. Why are they surprised by your voice? What are they expecting? Are they expecting Barry White? I mean, what are they expecting? Like, to be really deep, to be higher? I keep asking every once in a while. A couple of them tweeted at you, and I'm like, what did you expect him to sound like? And they don't answer.
So here's the story with my voice. If anyone, and I'm sure there are people out there who've talked to me in person, my voice sounds different on air than it does in person.
Really?
So, yeah, it does. And you can ask anyone out there who's met me before in person and talked to me face to face. My voice doesn't sound the same in person. So what you're hearing now is not what you should expect when you meet me on these sushi dates. So just put that out there.
You're gonna sound like James Earl Jones, by the way, who just celebrated a birthday.
It's weird. It's really cool, Scott.
I am Mo Moten.
It's really weird. My voice doesn't carry as well once I'm on the airwaves.
Interesting.
And I don't know why that is.
Mm.
But I'll just say that I sound different in person. If I ever meet up with you, Raider Nation, if I'm at a game, if you're on the East Coast, if you're in New York City, you want to know the best place to eat, get good pizza, let me know, and sushi I'll let you date. Be the judge. Do I sound the same on air as I do in person? I'm sure you would agree that I don't.
No, and you know what? It does. It change. It changes. It could be your mic settings too, but I'm not there to adjust them for you. We could get you deeper, but I get the same things too sometimes because people will be like, "Man, I hear you on the podcast and you have that radio voice," and I'm like, "I don't really have a radio voice. I kind of just speak in my regular voice." But then when I'm at work all day or I'm talking to the family, my voice it just sounds different. And even my kids will say, "You sound different." So I think that's natural too when you hear somebody. Now there are some guys who have those booming voices and like they can be on the air or off there and it's just like nonstop, right? But I just thought it was funny because I'm like, what are you expecting? Now I wanted some feedback from them, like, well, I expected it to be deeper, I expected it to be higher, I expected it to be this, or I expected it to be that. Like I couldn't get an answer from anybody. So it's a mystery we will never know until people tell us. So anyway, but it's cool though, because they're tuning in more, they're watching more, they're listening more, and I'm just incredibly humbled by that, and I appreciate it all.
It's interesting because you know what? I know we do this show 2-3 times a week together, but we've been working together for how long now? 5 years.
Yeah.
So if you've been following me, if you've heard me on other stations, you would know, kind of, you have an idea what my voice sounds like.
Yeah.
So I just find it interesting that people are now just discovering my voice and like, I didn't expect you to sound like that. Like, I don't know what things, but to the point though, maybe it's my Twitter profile picture because I look kind of mean.
Mean mug.
The
not anymore. You just changed it for the first time in like 2 years.
I know. If I just changed it for the first time, like forever. But in my first black and white photo, I look kind of mean. And
I like that.
One of the content creators out there, Corey, who's pretty funny and does voiceovers.
Yes,
for
I love
games,
Corey.
He said I had the look of an old retired linebacker. So I guess people expected me to sound like an old retired linebacker. Maybe they thought I would sound like, you know, Patrick Willis or Kirk Morrison. I don't know. Because some people say I look like Kirk Morrison. I don't know what they expected, but it is.
I thought it looked like I used to work in boxing. I thought it looked like a boxing poster. Like, you know, that black and white,
Moten versus Mayweather. For the championship of the world, MGM Grand tonight.
Anyway, so I just thought that was funny. But I mean, we have such good listeners and viewers, and the interactions we have with them are great. You know, we get people who come crazy at us too, and that's cool. It doesn't matter. But the folks who've been around for a long time, and you're right, we've worked together for a long time. When I was on Raider Nation Radio, you'd come on once a week, and then you were on once a week with Clay, and then later with Q as well. So it's funny because a lot of people who listen to all the different shows about Raider football don't realize that Q and I used to do a daily show together on Raider Nation Radio. And then you were on those shows all the time. And you've been on Evan's show, of course, Evan Grote from Just Pod Baby. And you had your own podcast back in the day. Now you're a big shot. Your voice is so good that the Bleacher Report's having you do all these live videos. Next thing you know, he's going to be on like Amazon Prime Thursday nights he's going to be stroking the beard of Fitzmagic. You know, I mean, he's going to be everywhere. So just stay tight. And it's all because of the Golden Pipes.
I will say that growing up, I never thought that I'd be speaking for a living. Not that it was something that I shied away from, but you know, I even got that when I was younger. People will say, "Well, I didn't expect you to sound like that," and I guess it was more of a. How should I phrase this? It was kind of like you look a certain way, but I didn't expect you to sound like the way my voice didn't match my look because I had kind of the urban look, kind of like how you see now.
Yeah,
you know, hat. Wore a lot of urban wear, and then when people heard me speak, they would say, "Well, you know, I didn't expect you to sound like that." Now, sometimes I took that as a slight because they probably expected me to sound you know, street. But
yes, I understand.
You know, I had my regular work voice, my professional voice on. So like, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah. And that's the thing too. People jump to conclusions based on a lot of different parameters, whether it's your attire, whether it's the neighborhood you're in, whether it's the color of your skin, they're going to make just judgments based on that without even knowing. And then Mo starts popping off reason and they're like, whoa, he sounds smart. He sounds different than I thought. That's why I asked those questions, not because I was trying to get argumentative with anybody. I was just curious to like, what did you make? Cause I remember, so one of my favorite, and I'm devolving here into a baseball story. Sorry guys. But one of my favorite baseball players of all time is one of the guys that you, when you hear his voice, you're like, oh my God, I never would have thought this voice was with him. And so that's what I was wondering if those kids, cause that was Tony Gwynn. Like you hear Tony Gwynn talk, and it was like, you see Tony Gwynn on the ball field. He's kind of a big dude, this and that. And then he talks and he's got this very kind of unique, distinctive voice that doesn't sound like anybody else's voice. Forget about what you thought it was going to sound like. It just sounds completely different from anything. And so I get that, you know, and that's how people are. I mean, they look at you and they size you up with the eyes and then they hear it and it's like, whoa, it's different.
I mean, look at Mike Tyson. Did you expect Mike Tyson to sound like how he sounds?
Never. So I never did. Yeah, never never did. And with that voice, you can see why he beat the crap out of people all the time. But anyway, we're going to get back to football now. We have some questions. So as part of this, we're going to bring in our mailbag questions. You can also mail us questions at mail@silverandblacktoday.com. mail@silverandblacktoday.com. We love the longer emails, but we're only going to read so much. So try to keep it pithy. Get to your question. Or if you have a great comment or a point you want to make, you can do that as well. Also, if you were surprised by what Mo sounds like the first time you heard him, tell us why. Okay, this is from our good buddy Jay in St. Louis, Jay Ford. He says, hey, Mo and Scott, just listened to the Kelce Brothers podcast, and they had Gronk on, and I just talked about this, actually, and he confirmed that he was going to go to Las Vegas in 2020. He also implied that he may not be done. My question, if Brady goes to Las Vegas, do you think Gronk will come with him? And would you then keep Waller and have a Hernandez Gronk 2.0, which is something Brady likes, the two tight end sets? Good question from Jay in St. Louis. Mo, who knows if Brady comes? If he does come, who knows if Gronk comes? It sounds like they're kind of hinting at it again, this Frankenstein couple. They're like, hey, we'll come in and join it. It reminds me of the LeBron James stuff when he was moving around teams. If Brady were to go to the Raiders and Gronk says, yeah, I want to play again, can you see those guys coexisting with Darren Waller?
Absolutely can. I mean, if you look at this year, Foster Moreau had a lot of snaps. Even when after Darren Waller came back, there were a lot of two tight end sets out there. So I could see Gronk coming along. I mean, how could you say no? Even at his age in his last playing year, Gronk was a pretty good pass blocking tight end. He could still catch the ball, of course, still a great red zone threat. And as we know, the Raiders have struggled in the red zone. Why would you not want that big target on the field? Mm-hmm. Opposite or along with Darren Waller. So I think it could work if Gronk wants to come out of retirement and they're a package deal. I say, why not? Because he's not going to cost you a lot at his age.
Yeah, no question. And I think, too, I think with that, again, it's about winning. If Tom Brady is comfortable with Gronk now, and then I can only imagine the stories and the paparazzi following Rob Gronkowski and Tom Brady, both bachelors living in Las Vegas. Holy moly. I mean, they might make a reality show out of it because that's how crazy it would be, right? To have those two guys in Vegas. But that whole point about the two tight end sets too, and you talked about Foster Moreau playing a lot more. Rob Gronkowski's still in great shape. When he came back to the Buccaneers that first time, he was a little underweight, quickly got up to speed fast, and didn't seem to lose a step at all. And so if you were to do that, that's an opportunity, I think, again, to win now, but still get those younger players in the background and do that. Does Rob Gronkowski instantly take this team, not having seen him play now since he's been retired again and doing commercials everywhere? Does that just add just a complete, I mean, does it become a super team on offense?
I wouldn't say a super team, but I think it would put him in the top five, assuming you know, everyone's healthy and Josh Jacobs is back, I think it would put him in the top five simply because, no, Gronk is not going to catch 75 balls and have over 1,000 yards receiving. But as I just mentioned, he'll give you that inline tight end who can block and seal for the outside runs, and he could still be a pretty good red zone target. Once you get inside the 20, Tom Brady throws it up to Gronk. More times than not, you have a touchdown. So
yeah,
I think it could work, and they could be a top five offense with that crew together.
There you go. All right. Thanks, Jay, again in St. Louis, a Raider fan in St. Louis. There you go. You never know. All right. We're going to go on to our next email. This is from Tom, a.k.a. T3. That's Tom Jones. He says, hey, Scott Moe, during free agency, the Raiders need to bring in a quality safety, linebacker, and interior defensive lineman. Now, I think they can do some of that in the draft, too. But nonetheless, if they're available and can be worked on, how do you feel about Jesse Bates III, Tremaine Edwards, and Daron Payne? Mo, those three names, what do you think?
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I actually think of those three names, I think Jesse Bates is probably the most likely that will hit the free agent market. Simply because I say this every year, and not to rain on your parade, but Raiders fans will circle, and fans across, not just Raider fans, but fans across all NFL fan bases will circle. We need to get this player, that player. And when it comes down to it, two days before free agency, you find out, well, this player's been franchise tagged, this player signed a new deal. So I think there's already talks that the Washington Commanders want to keep Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen together. That's their dynamic duo on the defensive line, along with Montez Sweat and Chase Young. They want to keep their D-line together, and it would make sense for them to franchise tag him. Tremaine Edmonds is the centerpiece of that Bills defense. I could see them coming to agreement with a new deal with him.
Yeah.
Jesse Bates has been wanting a new deal for years now, and the Bengals basically drafted his replacement.
Yeah.
This past year, or yes, last year. So I could see them letting Jesse Bates hit the market. I would love for the Raiders to get a guy like Jesse Bates because, and I said this on a previous show, the Raiders were last in, I believe, takeaways. We had 13 takeaways. Fewest interceptions. He can take the ball away and get that offense more possession. So if Jesse Bates, assuming that he hits the market, and I think he will, I think the Raiders should go after him.
All right, Tom's got a couple other questions in here, and I agree. Jesse Bates, the Bengals, and their cheapness are coming up, and they're also thinking they're going to have to give a new contract to Joe Burrow, to Jamar Chase, some other guys as well, and they still need to bolster their offensive line. So there you go. He also asked, so a couple questions. He asked about that Isaiah Wynn again with the Patriots, if he'd be available for a trade. It didn't happen last year. Can he stay healthy? He also asked about Ben Powers of the Ravens. And I just wanted to go on the record and tell us that he does not believe that even with an improved line that Tom Brady is the answer. Father Time has more power. I believe $15 to $20 million range the Raiders could shell out. That's if Brady were to decide not worth it. So there you go. So what do you think of Powers and Isaiah? Isaiah Wynn has been rumored to be traded for the last two seasons pretty much. Mo, what about those guys? Trades are always hard to figure because you just, I mean, offensive linemen in particularly, you just don't see them traded that often. It happens, but not very often because when you find a good rotate or a good offensive line and you have a unit like that, you tend not to want to break it up.
Absolutely. So offensive linemen, quality tackles usually don't hit the market. I know he mentioned Isaiah Wynn, injury prone tackle, but if you get him along with a rookie, you know, that's a good combination to have just in case he does get hurt. I mentioned Kelvin Beachum recently, pretty solid right tackle, I believe. So there are some options out there that they can upgrade with. I think if they want a massive upgrade that they draft early at the position, maybe a Paris Johnson Jr. out of Ohio State, or they pull off a trade. Because again, high end tackles aren't just falling off of trees and landing on the market. But I will say he did mention Ben Powers, and I think you can get a quality guard, because sometimes those guys do hit the market. I remember Joe Tooney not too long ago, signed by the Chiefs, helped them upgrade their offensive line. And speaking of the Chiefs, I know this is a Raider podcast, but there are people out there that say, well, the Raiders can't upgrade their offensive line in one offseason. Why the heck not? The Chiefs did it.
Sure they can.
Do you remember what happened to Patrick Mahomes when the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who, by the way, Tom Brady was on that Buccaneers team, that rattled Patrick Mahomes? What did the Chiefs do the following year? They completely went all in on their offensive line. Traded for Orlando Brown, signed Joe Tooney, Creed Humphrey, their center, they drafted in the second round. If you have a good scouting department and basically a good personnel department that knows how to identify talent, you can change an offensive line. You can change a defense within an offseason. It's the fact that a lot of Raider fans don't have faith in this organization because of what's happened with previous franchises and the holes that Dave Ziegler didn't fill this past offseason. So I get the skepticism, because we talked about some of the holes that the Raiders still have now that they had last year. So I get the skepticism, but you can, if you invest draft capital and cap space, you can flip a mediocre defense or offensive line into a good one.
Yeah, and I think the whole, we've been, you know, it's been 20 years and we've sucked. I get that. But again, this is a new regime and they've had one season. I don't think you have enough data. Yes, it was disappointing. And yes, some moves didn't work out as anticipated, Chandler Jones and others. But I just think, I get it. Raider Nation's just tired of losing. So I get the fatigue. I get the fatigue there. You mentioned, and I mentioned too before, Orlando Brown Jr. Is he going to stay with the Chiefs? You think they're going to let him go? And is that a guy, I know he plays on the other side, but you could move him to right side, right? And put him at right tackle if he is a free agent and they can go get him?
Here's a lowdown with Orlando Brown, why I don't mention him as a Raiders target. It's because, and I think the Chiefs are going to bring him back, because why would you put Patrick Mahomes in harm's way, right? unless you're going to draft a tackle in the first round. But let's say he does hit the market. I think a team that's looking for a left tackle is a better fit for him, because part of the reason he left Baltimore, wanted out of Baltimore, is because he wanted to play left tackle, like his dad, who played in the league. So he went to a team that was going to use him at the left tackle spot. So if the Raiders are going to sign Orlando Brown, he would want to play left tackle, which means you have to move Colton Miller to the right side. So there would be some shuffling going on if they were to go that route. Yeah. But I actually think the Chiefs either keep him. I'm not pretty sure, but I think the Chiefs keep him, because again, you want to keep Patrick Mahomes upright and healthy. But again, if they let him go and go draft the tackle in the first round, the Raiders are interested in him, just know that he's going to want to play left tackle, which means Colton Miller is going to have to move to the right side.
Does Mike McGlinchey hit the market, or is San Francisco going to tag him?
I think he hits the market simply because he had a down year last year. I believe he's probably looked at as a mediocre right tackle. I believe he's underachieved based on, I know he's a Notre Dame guy, so he's on your radar. He kind of dipped off. He had a bad 2021 season. And I think there's a possibility that the 49ers let him hit the market, and he may see what he can get. Now, if a team is willing to overpay for him, he's probably gone. But if he finds out that his market isn't as strong, then I could see him back in San Francisco.
There you go. So there's a lot of names, and I think a lot of the guys, because I think fans go and they look up on the websites who's going to be a free agent, and they don't understand the dynamics of some of the teams. And you talked about Orlando Brown, for it was just a great example of not wanting to switch over. That's why I asked the questions about would he switch to right. He doesn't want to. So you look at a lot of these free agents, and they might seem like good fits for the Raiders in some ways, but in other ways they're not. And so, and then their teams, a lot of them are willing to sign them. Again, offensive linemen, difficult. That's why drafting them is so important. The Alex Leatherwood miss and other misses, that's why it hurts so bad. Because when you get the opportunity to draft a tackle in the first round, man, you need them to deliver. Because if they do, then that's the kind of guy you could be there for 10 years. So,
And I just want to say to that email, because I know a lot of people are going to talk about Deron Payne, and he would be absolutely fantastic for the Raiders. If there's one free agent that I would want on the defensive side of the ball, it would be Deron Payne. But I'm telling you right now, don't get your hopes up, because I really honestly believe, I'm probably 75% sure on this, they're going to franchise tag him. And if they don't franchise tag him, it's because they've worked out a long-term deal with him, because I don't see them letting him go. He's just coming off his best season. A more realistic option at the defensive tackle position for the Raiders, Javon Hargrave, who's going to be, I believe, he's going to be 30, I believe. Philly may want to go young with that defensive line. They did draft Jordan Davis this past season. So they may go young, and he may hit the market. Even though he's coming off of a monster year, I could see them saying, look, let's pay Jalen Hurts, let's pay some other guys, and let a 30-year-old defensive tackle hit the market.
Yeah, and Hargrave, actually, even at his age, continues to play at such a high level. I mean, he's defying age in some ways, and so you got to hope that there's not a downside next year. If he's available, he'd be a great pickup for the Raiders. Great questions again, as always. Mo, I want to close the show today with just a look at the playoffs. We talked about it a little bit on Tuesday over Sunday night's game and then Monday night's game. But when you look at this and you look at how the playoffs are going now, we see the Bengals are going up to play the Bills. I think the Bills win that game. I'm pretty sure the Bengals are just so banged up and not playing their best football. The Bills aren't either on offense, but I just think the home game will matter there. And then the Chiefs, Jaguars, I think the clock strikes midnight and the carriage turns to a pumpkin for Trevor Lawrence. And you look at the other side on the NFC, but what are you learning from what you're covering in the playoffs about construction of teams that the Raiders and Raider fans can learn about being in that top echelon in either conference?
I write this a lot in my columns, right? I say this all the time. The mark of a playoff team is a team that can win in multiple ways. It's not a team that's solely dependent on its quarterback, like the Buccaneers were dependent on Tom Brady this year. It's not a team that's solely dependent on defense, even though people like to say defense wins championships, defense wins championships. Yes, it makes it easier for your quarterback, but you got to be able to score points in this league. Mm-hmm. And the other component, and I think it's not talked about enough, is coaching. You have to have the right coach. And that's where my concern lies with the Raiders, because I've said this multiple times. I don't know if Josh McDaniels is a quality head coach, quality NFL head coach. He may just be a coordinator. And if he is, it doesn't matter who you bring in there. The Raiders are not going to live up or play up to their full potential if he is not an NFL caliber head coach.
Right.
So you gotta have the coach that marries with the players, that marries with the system. And you see that with these teams. You see the way Trevor Lawrence popped when Doug Peterson walked in the door and how he looked under Urban Meyer in that disaster. You see Daniel Jones, he's popped under Brian Daboll, who I wanted the Raiders to interview, and they didn't. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But if you see the maturation process, the progression of those quarterbacks, those young quarterbacks, once those head coaches came in, you understand how important coaching is as far as bringing along a quarterback, because regardless of what the Raiders do at the quarterback position, whether they get Tom Brady or not, Jimmy Garoppolo, Jacoby Brissett, they're going to get a young quarterback. And that young quarterback is going to have to be in the correct system that helps accentuate his strengths. Now, can that be with Josh McDaniels in place?
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. Time will tell. Yeah. But as I said, with the Raiders, even if they get the quarterback position right, they want to be a perennial playoff contender, they have to be able to beat teams in multiple ways. Their defense has to get better. I know the Derek Carr supporters are going to hammer this, and they're going to be clapping for this statement, but the Raiders, finally, they have to get their defense right.
Yes, they do.
20th scoring or worse in the past how long?
Ever?
Your defense, at least get the defense to top 12. That's all I ask. If the Raiders can get their defense to top 12, and they have even a decent offense, they give themselves a chance. But the defense stinks as it has for the past, two decades for the most part. They're only going to go but so far. So you need the quarterback. Your head coach needs to be a head coach that can not only call plays, but get it, but leader of men. And your defense has to get much, much better.
Absolutely. Well said. And we will dive into a real deep dive on Josh McDaniels and what we saw in 2022. And also we'll compare it to a little bit. We'll go back in the time machine to Denver, to his first stint, and compare a little bit of that. We got to do that as a postseason breakdown. We have to, right? We have to go through and talk about, because we've been talking about how we're uncertain. And there's no question he is probably the coach on the hottest seat going into the season. I really believe that. Maybe that's tempered a little bit because he's buddies with Ziegler, but not very much. So I would argue that he is the going to go in game one, hot seat. And if he starts off 0-3 or 1-3, it's going to get a lot hotter, and they might push the eject button. And it depends as well. Depending what they do at quarterback, you're going to need that coach to develop that quarterback, and you can't get it wrong. So if he's not the right guy, you have to hit the eject button quickly. I mean, there's no question.
And to the point, Scott, do you think if Brock Purdy is playing with the New England Patriots and Matt Patricia calling the plays, do you think Brock Purdy looks the way he does right now? No.
No. No.
So it you have to have the right guys. You got to have the right coaches in place to get those guys to play at a high level.
Yes. Also, a reminder, tomorrow we'll have a special show. It's going to be audio only, interview with Lee Steinberg about the Raiders quarterback situation, about the market for Derek Carr. Can the Raiders get anything in return for him? I don't think so, but we'll ask a guy who deals. He's an agent, after all, so he knows that as well. We'll also be back next week with our full slate of podcasts. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Also, a shout out to our listeners on 98.5 The Fan in Las Vegas. We appreciate you guys listening to us on a Sunday morning, as we always do on the show, as well as 1140 The Bet. Mo, we're out of here, man. We will talk to you next time.
As always, it's a pleasure.
All right, for Mo Moten, I am Scott Colbranson. This has been Silver and Black Today. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you up on YouTube as well. Take care, everybody. For our producer, David Stepanian, and Mo, I am Scott Colbranson. Talk to you later, guys.